Today's message is called Stand Against Fear. Stand Against Fear. And we have been looking at faith over, well, we've been looking at faith for a long time. And we're going to continue to look at it because it's so important. And so we've been working on getting these faith verses on the inside. And as I was talking about that, we know that when we have faith, now we begin to manifest the things of God. When we have faith, we can do what God has said to do. We can unlock what He has laid up for us. We can unlock that when we have faith. But the opposite of faith is fear. And we've got to stand against fear. We have got to stand against it, and we cannot tolerate it or let it come into us. And fear takes on many different forms. There are people that are anxious. There are people that are timid. There are people that are worrying. This is fear. You ask somebody, there's a lot of times where you'll see somebody who it's very clear that they're afraid of something, and you'll ask them, "Are you afraid?" And they'll go, "No. No." Because a lot of times when we have fear, we don't even know it. And so I'm asking you to help one another today to notice if there's fears in your partner. Is there fear in that guy sitting next to you? And I want us to notice, not so we can kind of point at them and say, "Ah, you got fear, buddy." No, I don't want you to do that. We're pointing it out so we can weed it out, so we can pull it out by the root. Because fear tolerated is faith eliminated, faith diminished, faith destroyed. If we tolerate fear, it's going to ruin our faith. It's going to break it down. And so what I'm saying today is we need to, and I've talked about this before, but I still look around and I see a lot of fear. I see a lot of anxiousness, anxiety. I see a lot of timid kind of, you know, behaviors. I see defensiveness. What's behind defensiveness? Fear. And we don't want that. We don't need it. And we're going to root it out. So this is one of the things we're committing to. I'm getting you to commit to a lot of things, but they all kind of go together. Okay, so it's not like, "Gee, Ted, you got me so busy, I can't do my job." No, no, it all goes together. It's part of your job. So don't give me that. So I want you guys working together to root out the fear and help people to see. And this is why it's so important. There was a great story. It's in the book of Numbers. It talks about the Israelites. Now, the Israelites had gotten out of Egypt. They have been set free from bondage. Remember, Moses is leading them. Moses leads them out into the wilderness. After they had gotten out of Egypt, they cross the Red Sea, and out into the wilderness they go. Where are they going? They're going towards the Promised Land. Why are they going towards the Promised Land? Because God said, "I'm going to give you this land. This is the land that I've promised you. So I'm going to give you that. It's yours." So there they go off across the wilderness. They've never been there before. They were always in Egypt, remember? Now they're walking out in the wilderness, and they get to the borders or on the outskirts of the Promised Land. And what happens there? They decide they're going to send 12 spies into the land to check it out. Go scope it out. Come back. Give us a report, right? And so this is where I want to take a look here for a moment, because this was a really pivotal moment. This was such a pivotal moment in the journey of the Israelites. And this is something that happens a lot to us too. And so I think it's very relevant for us to take a look here. Now, I'm going to read this. This is in Numbers chapter 13, verse 30. Now, one of the guys was called Caleb, one of the spies that went into the land and then came back. "Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it.'" Amen. Amen. Caleb says, "Man, let's go get it. It's a great land. It's a magnificent land. It's everything that God says it was. Let's take it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report. Now, in some translations, it says evil report. They gave them a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we had gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people who we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." So they gave this bad report. Look what happens to the people now. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried. I can imagine you were thinking about this. Man, you were thinking about this so long. You were thinking, this is going to be it. My life is going to be gravy from here on out. Everything is gravy in Canada. We put gravy on everything there. So that's why I talk about gravy. You know, we don't use it here as much, but everything's going to be so amazing, they're thinking. They're thinking how amazing this is going to be. We are now here. This is it. And then they get this report that says, oh no, we can't do it. There's giants. Oh my God, the land devours the people. I don't know what that's about. That's scary. And so they cried and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, "If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?" So they said to one another, "Let us select a leader and return to Egypt." Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Zephunah, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, "The land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us. A land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread." These two guys are saying, those people are our bread. They're going to feed us. They're not afraid of them. "Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." And all the congregation said, "Stone them with stones." So I'll leave it right there. What's going on here? What 12 spies go into this land, 10 give a bad report, and 2 give an exceedingly great report about this land. How great this land is. 2 are seeing with the eyes of faith, and 10 are seeing with the eyes of fear. What happened? The people listened to the 10 who gave the bad report, and they let the fear control them, and they let the fear drive them away from that land. Look what they were saying. They were willing to go back across the wilderness, back into Egypt, meaning back into bondage, probably back into certain death. Remember, Pharaoh wasn't very happy when they left. And they were willing to go back there because they were that afraid of stepping into the promises of God. There are people in this room who are afraid of success. There are people in this room who are afraid of failure. There are people in this room who are allowing their fear to make them see obstacles that do not exist. They are allowing their fear to stop them from stepping into the promises of God, just as these people had done. These people were right on the very edge of stepping into everything that God had promised them and receiving it fully and completely. But as I said, fear is the enemy of faith. And fear will destroy our faith. Fear will contaminate our faith. Why am I talking about this now? Because we've been talking about faith and building up our faith. I've been talking about how we're getting the words of faith in, and the words of faith are producing, and if we allow fear to be in there, fear is going to contaminate that faith. It's going to prevent it from doing what it's meant to do, which is have us unlock, because faith is the key to unlocking the promises of God. But fear can contaminate that key, and then we can't get it open what God has promised us and what God has already laid up for us. And so it's imperative that we don't let even a speck of fear remain in us. Don't let it be in our congregation. Don't let it be in our hearts. Don't let it be in our bodies. We've got to stand against fear and say no.
Amen.
No. I'm not going to allow even a speck of fear in my being. We got to stand against it. Because if we want the faith to work, we need it to go in there and be unencumbered. And that means getting the fear out. Faith works. Faith is powerful, but fear is the opposite. Faith is the kingdom of God. But fear is of darkness. Fear is of falsity. We already were reading a verse a few weeks ago. And why do you think I gave you that verse a few weeks ago? Because for this very moment right now, you've already got the faith in you that tells you something. And what does that faith tell you? For God has not given us a spirit of fear.
Amen.
You already have those words of faith in you. So you already know what I'm saying is true. Because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Amen.
So the spirit that God has given us is not fear. It's power. It's love. And it's a sound mind. So we're not going to allow fear to be in our presence or in our midst or in our lives on any level, not a single level. And we're going to do everything we can to root it out, weed it out, pull it out. And if it's hard for you to see it, I'm asking you to get together and everybody, let's be honest with one another. And if you see fear in some of your fellow people, say, I notice there's some sort of anxiety there. I know that fear is underneath it. Let's work together with Jesus and release that. I notice there's some sort of defensiveness in you. And I know that underneath that is fear. Let's work together and get that out. I notice there's some sort of timidness about you. And I know that underneath that is fear. Let's get rid of it. Because it's got no business in the kingdom of God. And you are the kingdom of God. I'm saying to say this in order to reveal blind spots. Because quite often, like I said, you can say to somebody, oh, are you afraid? And they'll go, no, I'm not afraid. What are you talking about? Not me. You know, but it's because they don't even see it. They don't want to acknowledge it. And yet it's so obvious. And we need someone to help us to notice where the blind spots are. Because it's in the darkness that it's going to work. The fear goes to work behind our back and we don't see it. And now it's eroding our faith. It's encumbering our faith. It's inhibiting it. We can't tolerate that. We've got to root out fear. We've got to stand against fear. Today, Golden Heart is taking a stand against fear.
Amen.
We are taking a stand against fear. Say amen to that.
Amen.
We are taking a stand against fear because we have a goal. What is our goal? Golden Heart has a goal. What is our goal? Our goal is to see miracles and wonders and signs follow every single one of you.
Amen.
And we're not going to take no for an answer. We're not going to stop until we see that. And if we allow fear, if we don't take a stand against fear and we allow it to be in our midst, guess what? It's not going to allow that to happen. It's going to stop it. We're not going to allow that because I'm not taking no for an answer. I'm taking a stand. Golden Heart is taking a stand today against fear.
Amen.
On any level, any aspect, anybody, We're going to root it out and get it out on all levels. Fear consumes us with worries. If you're a worrier and your brain is running a mile a minute worrying, know that underlying that is fear. And we're going to root it out. Fear freezes us. It paralyzes us, and now we can't make decisions and move forward. If you're the person who's frozen, sitting there right now, not able to make a decision, not able to make a choice in your life, not able to make a move, I want you to know fear is underlying that. We're going to root it out. It's got no chance. You know, fears also make us make bad decisions. Sometimes you feel like you got to do something because you're afraid. And when you make a decision out of fear, it usually ends up even worse because it sends you in the wrong direction because it's not of the kingdom of God. We're going to root it out. I'm pointing this out because I want you to really know that fear is underlying a lot of the things that are not of the kingdom of God. It's hiding in there at the root of it. Anxiety, defensiveness, worry. Underlying this is fear. And somebody's going to walk up to you and say, I think I noticed some fear in you. You're going to go, I'm not afraid. I'm just defensive. That's fear. So receive it. And I'm not saying this to condemn anyone. I'm saying this to free you. I'm saying this because the words of faith are to free us from those chains. And we don't want it in our lives. You don't want it in your life. You might have had it for a long time. It might have become your normal way of being. You may not even be able to see it yet. And when someone points it out, you might think, why are they harassing me? Why are they pointing it out to me? No, they're not. They're helping you. They're helping you to be set free and receive what Jesus came to do, which was to liberate you in all ways. In 1 Timothy 6:12, it says, fight the good fight of faith. See, there are no external battles anymore. They've all been beaten already. We've already got the victory in Jesus' name. Some people spend too much time fighting the phone company, fighting the electric company, fighting the government. These battles have been won. The only fight we need to fight is the good fight of faith. We've been talking about faith. And now we know what the enemy is. Fear. Fear is the enemy of faith. And that's the fight that we're in right now. We're in the fight to fill ourselves up with so much faith and rid ourselves of the fear so that we can walk in the blessings of God. Amen. So we can walk in those wonderful things that God has laid up for us. He's already prepared it. It's already waiting. There it is. And when I walk in faith, it unlocks it. That's the key. And now it showers down upon us. And you have it. And you live in it. And you're rich. And you're healthy. And you're blessed. And you're prosperous on all levels. And miracles and signs and wonders follow you everywhere you go. Because you are the children of God. You are the children of the Most High. You have been given the Spirit of God. The Spirit of the living God lives in you. Amen. And you have that power. And that's for you. And so we take a stand against fear today. Say, I take a stand against fear.
I take a stand against fear.
Thank you. We stand against fear. We're not going to let it rob us or sabotage us. We're not going to let it undermine us and what God is doing. You and God are doing something very important. You and God have made a decision. I'm going to be filled up with faith. And you said, Ted, I'm committing to this with you. And you were committing it to it with God. And you said, this is important. We're going to do this. You said, okay. I said, okay. And now we're not going to let fear sabotage that or fear stop that. We're going to cast that fear out on its ass in Jesus' name. I think I can say that if I follow in Jesus' name. I'm not sure, but whatever. The main thing is we're taking a stand.
Amen.
Against it.
Yes.
Now listen to this. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing, now listen to this part, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. What thoughts are we talking about? We're talking about the thoughts of fear, the thoughts of worry, the thoughts of anxiety, the thoughts of defensiveness, the thoughts of depression. We're talking about bringing those thoughts into captivity, meaning they got no power over us. Why? Because I got the spirit of power. I got the spirit of love, and I got the spirit of a sound mind. We haven't been given the spirit of fear. So here, this is beyond carnal things. This is the power of God that we're talking about. We're not going to do this on our own. We're not taking a stand of fear against fear on our own. What am I, stupid? No, I'm not going to do that. We're going to stand against fear using the power of God. We're going to stand together. This is beyond things that are carnal. This is, you know, the mighty in God pulling down strongholds. So any thought that comes against you, that rears its head, any single thought that tries to get in there, you're going to take it captive. You're going to take it captive by the power that you've been given in Jesus. You have that power already. Let me read that again. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, to obeying what he has said, the words of faith. Why? Because the words that go forth from my mouth do not return to me void.
Amen.
You see how this stuff's starting to fit together? You see how, whoa, I'm already armed with something here. My words are power because my words are spirit. You see how we're starting to get, there's like power and fire behind what we're saying. Because we got already, we're building it up. So we're going to bring those thoughts that are of darkness, we're going to bring them into captivity immediately. We're not going to let them sabotage us or undermine what we're doing. And in verse 6 it says, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So being ready to cast that stuff down, it doesn't have a chance. We're going to cast it down. We're going to rebuke it. We're going to throw it out. See, the people of Israel, the Israelites, when they came to their time to receive their promise, you're standing there right now too. You're standing there. You're about to receive. You're about to receive what God has laid up. You can feel it. Some of you have been saying, Ted, I feel something big is going to happen. Ted, I feel something's going to happen. I just feel like something's going to just shift just for all of us. I've heard you saying this. And it's going to happen. Just like they knew when they were standing on that border. They said, something big is going to happen for us. We're going to step into the promised land. But then they let a bad report. They let a couple of naysayers let the fear get them. And that drove them back into the wilderness. They never received it. But you're standing on the border right now. And we're taking a stand against fear. And we've got something they don't got. We've got the power of Jesus on our side. And we already know the promises are fulfilled. And they belong to you. They belong to you. You've already got them. And now by speaking the words of faith, you will unlock them. And you will walk in them. And nothing can stop you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Say amen to that. So what are we going to do? What are we going to do to stop? Now listen to this. Here's what we're going to do right here. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. It's talking about the Lord. Talking about God. Cast all your cares upon him. Don't let the worry get in there and begin to work you over. Don't let the anxiety begin to work you over. Take a stand against it. Go, nope. I give it to Jesus. Give him those cares. Give him those worries. Give him those anxieties. Give him those fears. Give him those insecurities. Whatever it is, give it to him. This is how we do it. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. So we're going to be getting the words of faith on the inside. The words of faith are going to be going in there. We're going to be rooting out all the fear. We're not going to let it stand. We're not going to let it take hold of us. We're going to give that to Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Say amen to that.
Amen.
Here's another one. This is 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this. This is our solution. This is what we're going to do. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world.
Amen.
However Jesus was in this world, that's how we are. Say, I am like Jesus.
I am like Jesus.
However he was in this world, I'm like this. Amen. Now in verse 18 it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. That's why we're taking a stand against fear. We're not going to allow it. But we have the answer right here. What are we going to do about it? We're going to receive love. What is perfect love? Perfect love is Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that we could have everlasting life. So when we receive the gift of perfect love into our hearts, it now casts out love, a fear. It now casts that out. Has no power in there. So we're going to continue to look at Jesus, receive his love, receive him, and keep giving him the fear. All right, you see that? You're going to keep taking in the love, keep giving out the fear. Whatever it is, however it's manifesting itself in your life, we're not going to allow it to stay there. We're not going to give it a minute. We're not going to give it a day. We're not going to give it a week. The minute we notice it, we give it to Jesus. So let's read that again, because this is the answer right here. See, the beautiful thing about God, God's already created the answers. We don't have to go invent something. He's already created the answers. We just got to use what he has already done. Let's just use it. And this will set us free from it. It says right here, there is no fear in perfect love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. Okay? So the perfect love will cast out the fear. The perfect love is Jesus. We receive that. Let's go a little bit further. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. God cares for us. God loves us. God cares for us. That was the previous verses I was reading in 1 Peter. God cares for us. We cast all our cares upon him. He cares for us. He loves us. If he cares for us and he loves us, he's going to take care of us. He has already fulfilled the plan and done everything he needs to do. All we need to do is know he cares for us and he loves us. And if we receive that care and we receive that love, we are now healed through it, through receiving what God has given. We are healed through it. And we now have a spirit of power and love and a sound mind.
Amen.
And we're not going to take no for an answer. All right, so let's go straight to the verses for this coming week. I'm going to be giving, get out your pens, get out your iPhones if it's you're going to type it into your notes on your iPad, or if you're going to email yourself from the YouVersion app, if you're going to email yourself or text yourself the verse, you can do that. Let's take a look at these verses for this week. I'm looking at 1 John chapter 4. So 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17, 18, and 19. And it says there, we just read it, love has been made perfect among us in this. This is what we want to get in this week. We want to get in that perfect love. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. We got a couple of good things in that one. We know as he is in the world, so are we. So you're going to be saying to yourself, I am as he is in the world, so am I. Right? You're going to be putting it into that first person context of understanding it. And you're going to be saying that that perfect love, which I have, why do you have it? Because you invited Jesus into your heart, right? You have that that perfect love, which I have, casts out fear. No chance for it. I've got the power over it. This is not a carnal thing. This is a stronghold of God, something mighty in God that he has given us to overcome the fear. Amen?
Amen.
So you're going to be getting this on the inside. Now, in our second verse, Matthew 19, verse 26, and it says, "But Jesus looked at them and said to them, 'With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible.'"
Amen.
So we got two really good ones here together. We got, see, we can't do this on our own. We can't do it on our own. But we can do it with God. It's the power of God. It's not carnal. We're not going to do it just physically. We're going to be doing it with that power. So it says here, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So we're going to be getting that in. All things are possible with God. You got a fear, you got an anxiety, you got a worry. Hey, we know that perfect love casts out fear. And we know that all things are possible with God. See that? So you start getting those two together, oh, you're going to be on fire. You're going to have real power now to overcome these fears. They have no chance. They have no chance. You're going to have superpower, supernatural power, you know, of God. Again, I want you to do those two verses. Did everybody get them? Got them? You got them down? What, the second one? Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. The first one was 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, 18, and 19. You're going to be reading them seven times in the morning, seven times at night, at least. You know, I often open them up sometime during the day and just kind of read them a little bit too, you know, whenever. But I'm giving you kind of some guidelines so you have an idea. And meditate on these verses at least 5 minutes. At least 5 minutes. Sometime during the day. Remember, the revelation that God gives us during the meditation is what really gives these words power. It opens our mind to seeing in a whole new way. Remember, the Israelites, there were two men that were seeing with the eyes of faith. They had the words of God on the inside. When they walked into that land, they did not see giants. They did not see danger. They saw a land flowing with milk and honey because they walked with the eyes of faith. And they knew, let's go up and take the land. It'll be easy. It's already been prepared for us. God has opened the way for us. And that's how we are going to be seeing as we walk through the world with the eyes of faith everywhere we go. So when we meditate on these verses, it begins to open our eyes of faith. We begin to have revelations and realizations about how these verses apply in our life today, and we now can walk and speak and think and do in a whole new way, in the way of the kingdom of God. Yeah.